Hey there. Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to read the Bible.
And then we're going to talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, under the subtitle, Treasures in Heaven.
Okay. You want me to read that?
I sure do.
Okay.
America wants you to read it, Ivan.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
This passage, words from Jesus here in the continuation of the Beatitudes, really one of those that, if we allow it to, I think has the ability to hit the heart more than almost anything else that he said.
Sure.
And the reason I say that is because he speaks of things that we value. The term here, treasure. I always think of Pirates of the Caribbean when
right,
I think treasure.
Right.
But treasure is just anything of value.
True.
And so, don't store up the things you value, in essence, in verse 19, here on earth, where those things are subject to decay and
right.
destruction and theft.
Any of them can be taken
They're
from
insecure.
You. Right.
They're not steady and stable, even though they really can feel like it, because this is the only realm we've ever lived
it's
in.
It's true. That's exactly right. Yeah, we have nothing else to compare.
And it offers an alternative in verse 20 to store your treasure somewhere else. So I think about, like, when we put money in a bank, why do we do that? Like, there's no room in our house for all of our stacks of cash?
Right. No, I mean, you know, you get bills big enough, I suppose.
Why do we go to the bank?
I think because it gives us a feeling of security. Like, this is locked. This is locked up. Nobody else can take it.
Yeah, so it's for security, and or it's because they're good with money and they can invest it and they can grow it. So it comes
down
to...
Well, they don't give it back to us, so I don't know.
Well, they do in terms of, you know, interest rates if you have a savings account. But
yeah.
The idea here is that if we trust Jesus with our treasure, if we trust the Lord with our treasure, it's secure and he knows how to grow it.
Right.
But the alternative is trust in ourselves, keep our treasure here. It's the equivalent to storing it underneath your mattress. It's like, I don't trust the bank. I don't think it's going to secure my money effectively or grow it. And verse 21.
Yeah, that's the
is the kicker. It says where your treasure is, that's where your heart really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the dividing line for many of us. Between being sort of religiously affiliated, where we express a verbal belief in God or in Jesus.
Right.
And then factual faith, where our life demonstrates it. Our treasure is going to be where our heart is. And so you can always tell where a person's faith is at by what they put their security in.
So do you feel like this scripture is specifically regarding mammon, like possessions?
Some translations say mammon instead of money, yeah.
But possessions, just worldly possessions, or do you feel like it has the ability to extend further than that into our interpersonal relationships, like people and what they mean to us?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Jesus is speaking specifically to mammon or money. But I think the applications go beyond that.
Sure.
And that gets addressed in the verses that follow here in verses 25 and beyond, where he talks about, you know, food and clothing and things like that too. But in verse 22, he mentioned that the eye is the lamp of the body.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a Jewish rabbi teaching other people of his time, usually when a rabbi addressed an audience, they would use idioms that made sense to the people of that place and of that time. And so one of the ways that they taught, and one of those idioms was the term of an eye.
Yes.
Being good or being bad.
Ayin
tova is good eye. Ayin ra'ah is bad eye. And it was a synonym for attitude. Mm-hmm. So if your attitude is good, or maybe even your heart is good, then you're good.
Right.
But if your attitude is bad, you're bad. When it comes to treasure and what you value, your attitude's going to affect that too. So anyway, if the eye is good, it saw the needs of others and acted accordingly. If an eye was bad, it saw only itself, and that led to greed, led to selfishness.
Right.
And so in light of Jesus' teaching here, if you are others focused with your life and with your treasure, it's going to show up. And if you're self-focused with your life and with your treasure, that's going to show up too.
That's true. And really, I mean, just from a physiological, you know, if you think about what the eye is, really it's just kind of a mirror, right? That reflects what you're seeing in front of you, and it projects an image onto your brain. And so really you think about, you know, our eyes in a way reflect the values that we set on things, you know, and that gets mirrored back. And leaves an imprint on our hearts in the same way that an image does, you know, physically.
And so then he rolls in verse 25 to, I think, more depth on the same track here, where he says, therefore, or because of what I've just told you about where your treasure is and how no man can serve two masters. And I think we should probably address that before we get into it. I think he says that in verse 23 or 24. You know, the idea is that it would be really cool if we could have both.
Right.
Treasure on earth and treasure in heaven. We could feel safe here and we could feel safe for eternity. We could serve both God and at the same time our own interests. Or because really money makes us feel safe a lot of times. Money buys us a certain quality of life, a certain quality of safety.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons we treasure money so much and we value it so much. And people are willing to do
crazy things for money. Right.
You put a big enough stack of cash in front of just about any one of us and we'll at least consider doing something that we know to be morally wrong. Because we look at all that that money could possibly get for us.
Sure.
That could pay off all my bills.
Yeah.
And I could get a house for my mom. And I could, we'll even justify, and I could help the poor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so much good could be done. And so, yeah, maybe a little bit of wrong could be justified by all the right I could do after I get the security and the safety that comes along with this money.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where Jesus' teaching is pretty straightforward and honest. Like, you can't have both. You either believe God is the source of all security, or you believe that money is. But you can't play both sides.
Right.
And with that in mind, he says in verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more, not much more valuable than they are? I think the rhetorical question would come back, yeah, I think so.
Right.
Verse 27, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think he gets to the heart of things there. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? I think, again, it gets to the heart of the issue.
Yeah.
And verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Man, that's meaty. I feel like that, like just that stretch right there is worth an entire podcast.
Well, probably several.
Yeah.
We've got 5 minutes.
Right. Woohoo. Yeah. Okay. So I appreciate that you started off by saying, you know, the therefore, which is
well,
you
Jesus
can't serve.
Said therefore. That was Jesus.
But you just read it and spoke it okay. moments ago.
All right.
And smart aleck. And so looking back over the fact that we can't serve two masters, so then what's the point? He's getting to the heart of really why do we feel like we have to gather up these treasures around us and build our own security? And I think you hit the nail on the head when he asked the question there that you drew attention to in verse 27. Like you can't worry and add a single hour to your life. And I think that that's why we crave things.
Worry, fear.
Yeah. Right. The lack of security. Like some this, like we almost all become actuarial, you know, like we sit down and we do the math in our head and go, well, what if this and this and this happens? Mm-hmm. And think that we're building security. But then why do we still worry so much? I mean, why is this nation drunk on medications? And I'm not saying don't get medicated if you have serious anxiety issues, do that. But when you look at the vast majority of medications that get taken, like we're trying to control our anxiety. Mm-hmm. But we have more in this country than...
Seems other places do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, worry and fear as an engine that drives our life and our actions is a very real thing. We all feel fear. We all feel a sense of worry. Mm-hmm. But the amount of fear varies from person to person. And I think when you know you have a tremendous ally, when you have a powerful ally that you trust in bone deep, you don't worry as much.
Right.
You know, because you're like, oh, well, it's going to be okay. We've got mm-hmm. this to fall back on. And that's where our faith and our belief in God comes in. If he's our master, and we believe he's a good master, and we believe that he is capable and powerful, we don't have to worry much. But the opposite is true. If we're not really convinced, then we turn to something for our security. And one of the easiest things to turn to, especially for us in the modern Western world, is our wealth and is our money. I don't know if you've noticed this, but broke people seem to usually stay broke.
Yeah.
When... Sure. They worry a lot about their money, and they think that buying this next thing is what's going to bring their family security, or buying this next piece of jewelry is what's going to strengthen their marriage, mm-hmm. or you know, having this outfit is what's going to make them attractive,
right?
And lure a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and then they'll be happy. There's never going to be a shortage of things to spend money
on. That's true.
And the promise behind a lot of that is it's going to make you better. It's going to make you happier. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make your life better. And it makes these promises that it very rarely delivers on. But I've also noticed the opposite to be true. The generous people are rarely ever broke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The people that give the majority of themselves away.
Yeah. And so what came first? Were they generous because they're rarely ever broke? Mm. Or because they're rarely ever broke... Are they generous?
Right.
Like Jesus said, it's a matter of your eye. It's good eye or bad eye.
Right.
That's the difference. It's not really what's in your bank account. It's where your trust is. It's where your faith is. It's where your treasure is.
Right. And back to, you know, the idea of reaping and sowing. That's a promise.
Yeah.
You know? If you sow stingy, you're going to reap stingy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he closes out there by encouraging people to seek first, verse 33, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. So God knows what you need. He knows.
He does.
That you need clothing and food and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is if you seek after God first and have primacy and trust in God, he's a great provider and you're going to be okay. He's going to provide you what you need.
Right. Amen. Good stuff. Fantastic. Well, we are so very grateful that you joined us for this episode, and we always like to leave you with a little nugget of wisdom.
And that is from James chapter 1, verse 22, where it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says."